أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على
الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
اللہ تعالی قرآن کریم فرماتا ہے In the Holy Quran, Allah the Almighty states, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu istajibu lillahi wa lirrasooli idha da'akum lima yuhyikum. That O ye who believe, respond to Allah and the Messenger when He calls you, that He may give you life. Allah the Almighty sends His messengers to give life. It is said that the messengers are sent to give the believers life from death. As is evident from these verses of the Holy Quran, that this refers to a spiritual life. Rather than giving physical life from physical death. This also expressed the manifest truth that a mu'min, a believer, should always respond to the call of a messenger and continuously facilitate his reformation. Through the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah provided the means of our spiritual life. He revealed a perfect and complete Shariat or law in the form of the Holy Quran. The perfect embodiment of acting upon the Holy Quran was given to us in the shape of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those who were close to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam experienced and felt this. The closer one was to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to that same extent was the beauty of the practical example of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam highlighted to them. The wives of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were in the best position to bear witness to this, and indeed they did testify to the beauty of his practical example. No wonder, then, that when somebody asked the question of Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, that how would you describe the morals of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Hazrat Aisha responded to this, Kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an, that his morals were the Holy Qur'an. Meaning to say that he was the perfect practical embodiment of all entailed in the Holy Qur'an. So thus the person of the Prophet proves to be an example for people in the world. There can be no question of their person or example misleading anyone else. Here in this verse, by combining the words Messenger and Allah, Allah has informed us that whatever Allah says, the Messenger also says and acts upon. So thus, if you desire a spiritual life, then you shall blindly hearken and follow the Messenger of God, obey him, and act upon his commands. It has been further said regarding the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that if you desire the love of Allah the Almighty, then it is essential to follow the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Indeed, love of Allah the Almighty is that very status through one obtains a spiritual life. So thus, in order to obtain a true spiritual life, it is necessary to respond to the call of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, until one who calls himself a Muslim truly does not accept this thing, which Allah the Almighty has said to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to announce in the following words, that fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah, that if you love Allah, follow me, then will Allah love you. So until one who calls himself a Muslim does not do this, he cannot call himself a true follower and a true mu'min, a true believer. In order to follow the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam properly, then we need to look at what the Holy Prophet ﷺ was the practical illustration of, in the shape of the Holy Quran, as explained by Hazrat Aisha. It is the Holy Quran which says that the enmity of any nation should not incite you to act otherwise than with justice. It is the Holy Quran which says that you should not needlessly shed the blood of anyone else. And it is the Holy Quran which says that you should fulfill the rights of the creation of God. And the Holy Quran further says that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the rahmatul lil alamin, the mercy of all mankind. Without discrimination of caste or creed, he is a mercy for all mankind. Rahmaniyat requires that it should be indiscriminate. In short, as you go on reading the Holy Quran, you go on finding all forms of guidance. So the Holy Quran rebuts the criticisms of non-Muslims and Orientalists, which they raise, seeing the misdeeds of Muslims today. Criticisms which are against Islam and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They allege that you say that the Prophet is life-giving, but is this really life-giving for which your Prophet and your faith came? Prophets give life, but the actions of the Muslims are dead, and practically speaking, they have also heightened their deeds to end others' lives. Innocent people and widows are being killed. If anyone asks me, and then from time to time, people ask me and also ask this of Ahmadis, then I respond to them with the following answer to this criticism. That Allah and His Messenger have given the answer to this at the very outset of Islam, 1400 years ago. In the Holy Quran, in these verses of Surah Jummah, هو الذين بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين وآخرين منهم لما يلحقوا بهم وهو العزيز الحكيم. That he it is who has raised among the unlettered people a messenger from among themselves, who recites unto them his signs, and purifies them, and teaches them the book and wisdom, although they had been before in manifest misguidance, and among others from among them who have not yet joined them. He is the mighty, the wise. So this is that very ignorance and misguidance which is being manifested by the misdeeds of the Muslims today, which was found just prior to the advent of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To remove this misguidance and to give the true life-giving message, Allah the Almighty sent the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And now this life-giving message, which was brought by the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to spread it in the world today, Allah sent the promised Messiah on whom be peace. Further, after coming into the bed of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, on whom be peace, the Ahmadiyya Muslim community is spreading this message, and it is their responsibility to do so. Regarding these circumstances and these people and these ulama, these Muslim scholars who are carrying out these acts today, these are the worst of creation under the heavens, who call themselves the scholars. They will become the centers of disorder and strife. At such a time, the advent of the promised Messiah, and Imam Mahdi, would occur, who would give spiritual life. We observe that the promised Messiah alayhi salam made the claim that he had come to give life. His followers received this life. So thus this criticism is rebutted whether this messenger is one who gives life. Because he and Allah had said beforehand that such circumstances would come about. This message most certainly is life-giving and will remain so. This messenger is life-giving and most certainly will remain so until the end of time. However, a time will come about where people will not follow him properly or act upon their teachings. And in such a predicament, Allah the Almighty would send the promised Messiah in perfect obedience to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In one place, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam said, the verse, وَآخَرِينَ مِنْهُمْ لَمَّا يَلْهَقُوا بِهِمْ, and among others from among them who have not yet joined them, means that there are only two parties who will attain guidance and wisdom after manifest misguidance and witness the blessings and miracles of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Firstly, the Sahaba, the companions of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who were embroiled in darkness before his advent. And later, with the grace of our God the Almighty, they experienced the time of the Prophet and witnessed miracles with their own eyes. They observed the fulfillment of prophecies. Belief brought about a change in them, and they became as if of one spirit. The other party, which is like the companions according to the aforementioned verse, is a party of the promised Messiah. Like the companions, this party also is to witness the miracles of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and is to find guidance after darkness and misguidance. In the verse, وَآخَرِينَ مِنْهُمْ لَمَّا يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ, through minhum, this group has been given a measure of the blessings of being likened to the companions. This indicates that just as the companions, radiallahu anhum, may Allah be pleased with them, saw the miracles of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and witnessed the fulfillment of his prophecies, so will these people. The intermediate period will not have a complete measure of this blessing. Thus, exactly this is what happened today, and after 1300 years, once again the door to the miracles of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reopened, and people witnessed them with their own eyes. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salam says, everyone has personally witnessed the spread of plague and restrictions placed on going to Hajj. Introduction of the railways in the country and the camels being made redundant, all of these were the miracles of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which have been witnessed in this era, just as the companions witnessed miracles then. This is why Allah the Almighty termed this latter day's group as minhum, from among them, so that it may indicate that they are like the companions as far as the observance of miracles is concerned. Reflect and ponder. Who else has experienced the time in the precept of prophethood in the last 1300 years? There are many reasons for our community to be likened to the companions radiallahu anhum. They witness miracles and signs just as the companions did. They also see the signs and the fresh help and support through which they obtain light and also certainty of belief like the companions. They are suffering from the grief of derision, mockery, cursing and all manner of hurt, abuse and cutting off of ties in the way of God and as the companions did. They continue to attain pure life from God's evident signs, heavenly succor and teaching of wisdom, just as the companions did. Many among them weep during the prayers and moisten their places of prostration with their tears, just like the companions, may Allah be pleased with them, wept. So thus the claim of the promised Messiah that he had come to give life was splendidly fulfilled and continues to do so today. Purely through obedience of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah the Almighty, by virtue of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, Allah is giving life to the world. Now it is only possible to understand the word of God through the promised Messiah alayhi salam. Without him, it is impossible to comprehend. It is a task of the promised Messiah to explain the deeper meanings of the Holy Quran. And now people are obtaining spiritual life through the promised Messiah alayhi salam, and this is the only way possible for them. After 1400 years, the promised Messiah alayhi salam exhibited perfect obedience and following of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and displayed a perfect practical example. So thus the blessings of giving a practical and moral and spiritual life continues even today. However, those who criticize against Islam do not look in this direction. Whereas when they see the misdeeds of the Muslims, then they do propaganda more than that is required and raise allegations out of proportion. Just recently, someone wrote to me that they were speaking about the beautiful teachings of Islam with a well-versed Christian. They spoke about the continuing establishment of Khilafat and the services of the community in the world today. The Ahmadi informed the Christian of this. So the Christian said, "Why do you not de-inform the media of this? Why does the world not know about this? And why is this not reported in the news?" So the Ahmadi said, "We do this. We do preaching, we disseminate leaflets, which are in tens of millions. We also advertise on buses, and we have other forms of publicity and spreading the message. We also try to give news. However, the media does not give that much coverage, as they do give to negative reports." So the Christian friend said himself, "To incline the media people towards you because everything is commercialized and sensationalist news is required, so that people would watch it and listen to it. And since anti-Islamic feelings are common, they only cover negative things about Islam and avoid presenting facts." They do not do justice. In any case, this is their work. But even now, there are some in the media who somewhere or the other have started to say the truth. I mentioned before that someone from the BBC took an interview of me. It was quite a long interview. So just recently, they presented some parts of that in one of their documentaries. It was shown yesterday for the first time on BBC Asia and will begin during the week on BBC World Service. Or perhaps they will show this from Saturday. They will not show this, they will in fact hear this because this is radio. They also included my point in this, that the Jamaat which is presenting beautiful teachings embodies the true teachings of Islam. And this is why in hundreds of thousands people are entering into the Ahmadiyya Muslim community. They did not show all of what I said, but to a large degree they incorporated my various words within the report. That the people who enter do so for the reason that they come to learn of the true teachings of Islam. They hear this life-giving message of Islam and are inclined towards it. So thus the teachings of Islam, and in the example of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are no shortcomings. In fact, they are perfect embodiments and examples and perfect teachings. If there are any flaws, they are in those Muslim scholars and in those Muslim people who are guided wrongly or who wrongly follow behind those scholars. If it were untrue that messengers are life-giving, which all of them have claimed, then belief in God would also become non-existent. That dead religion in which only people claim, and in which there is nothing left which can be said that it is life-giving. People are leaving those religions for this very reason. People have a ritual connection with these faiths, but they do not have a connection of faith with them. It is a great favor of Allah upon the Muslims that even in this era, He sent one of His messengers. He thus rejuvenated His teaching and presented it before us. This is so that we can continuously obtain a spiritual life. The chosen ones of Allah bring the promise with them from God that the people who will join with them, who will follow them in the true sense, they will be taken to success and progress. They will most certainly attain spiritual life, and the remaining people will face humiliation and failure. This is the same promise that Allah gave to the promised Messiah, that He will most certainly triumph. His followers will continuously progress, inshallah, God willing. After the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, in order to continue His work, the institution of Khilafat will continue. If any other institution and system will rise up against this, will face definite failure. Khilafat is that blessing which is conferred from God. It is not something which people can forcibly take, and it cannot be acquired through cruelty or oppression, nor can it be received by burying innocent people, and nor can this institution be forcibly seized by cruelly murdering and killing others. This is a means of giving life rather than taking life. This is impossible to obtain without the help and succor of God. So thus no other system or institution which is forcibly seized can be with the help and succor of God, nor has this ever been the case. Here, one point that should be remembered is that the believers in the chosen one of God, those who receive the life, and those who give life must also give sacrifices. Those who join with the selected one of God become ever ready to make every sacrifice because they are fully aware that their sacrifices will never go to waste. They are aware of the importance and significance of sacrifices. It is for this reason that they sacrifice this physical life for the spiritual life. At the time of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, there were those who left their companions, their relatives, their money, possessions, and business, and even to the extent of their lives, gave up all of these in sacrifice. Believers often have to give sacrifices of emotions, of relatives, of money and possessions. There are also those, however, who also give sacrifices of life. So there have been such people who sacrificed all of these things. But what they did not allow to die was a spiritual life. Today also there are hundreds, if not thousands, who give sacrifices of this manner. There are sacrifices of emotions, sacrifices of money and possessions, and sacrifices of one's loved ones and relatives. They give these sacrifices most happily. In some places, they are even giving sacrifices of life. There are some who accept Ahmadiyyat. They accept the true life-giving message of Islam. And as soon as they do, they enter into a period of difficulty and tribulation. But they do not care at all about this. They give precedence to their spiritual life over their physical life. As the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, has said, these people pass through different difficulties, pain and suffering, but they do not care at all for this. They are taunted and made to endure suffering. There are now countless examples of those who are facing such problems, but I will give a few selected examples, not of those who gave life, but of those who gave sacrifices of emotions and sacrifices of facing difficulties from the society after accepting Ahmadiyyat. In the society after accepting Ahmadiyyat, they immediately started facing suppression. There was a person, Hasamuddin Sahib, who is an Arab. He once left a message for our Ikrama Sahib that I did the bet a short while ago, and now I am facing extremely difficult circumstances. So Ikrama Sahib said I gave him reassurance, and I asked him about the difficult circumstances, upon which he replied that my wife and I were connected to the Tablighi Jamaat. We used to go on preaching in Devis. When we watch programs on MTA, then I came to believe in the message of the promised Messiah, finding it truthful and life-giving. My wife became vehemently opposed to me and incited my family against me. The Maulvis were also made to go against me. And upon the behest of the Maulvis, my wife also brought a fatwa, an edict of disbelief of me. And we separated and the nikah was annulled, as is the way of the Maulvis. After this, great pressure was placed upon me by my family in the household to leave the Jamaat, but I did not care for this at all. I have 4 children from this wife. Yet despite forsaking all of this, with the grace of the Almighty Allah, I am firm in faith. After the bet, I came to know the reality of separation, and I understood the statement of the Holy Prophet ﷺ that Islam began in a state of exclusion and ultimately will be excluded again. Thus blessed be the excluded. He says, Allah the Almighty gave me refuge Himself, and Himself became my guardian. And prays not to stumble, and inshallah to remain steadfast. Now there are different regions, for example, in East Africa, in Tanzania, there's a Shianga region, where Aramir Saab says, there were opportunities to carry out preaching. There were new beds from different places. There is one village, Songomile, where there is also a mosque. Approximately 90% of people who worshipped at a village mosque converted into Ahmadiyyat. After this, there is a Tanzanian Muslim organization, Bakwata, which has considered it as representative of Islam. They started severe opposition to Ahmadiyyat. First, they feared and tried to incite the Ahmadis and made efforts to disrespect, to threaten them. Because they had immediately sent Ahmadi Mu'allim so that Tarbiyat could be carried out, so therefore they firmly had belief and conviction, and they had come to learn of the true teachings of Islam and Ahmadiyyat. So thus they did not care at all of the attempts to fear them and threaten them. A stage came when opponents stopped them from offering prayer in the mosque. Ahmadis organized an alternate place to offer the prayer and decided upon this. Then the opposition took a new direction. The local administrative government and the police, including the police officer who was himself a Sunni Muslim, in conjunction with the Bakwata Muslim organization, they started troubling the new Ahmadis of the village. Along with the Mu'allim, they arrested two other Ahmadis. After some time, they released them. Then, a few days later, our Mu'allim and a few Ahmadis were again arrested. They had intended to place a case against them and were continuously raising allegations against them, saying that Ahmadis had come to burn our mosques and this is why they are building a separate mosque, that they are creating divisions, that they are destroying our peace and disorder. Indeed, everything they were doing themselves, they were placing the allegation upon Ahmadis. But Allah the Almighty conferred His grace, and all the Ahmadis remained firm on their conviction of faith and did not care for anything. Yet they had to endure great difficulties. Now I'll give a third example. First it was of East Africa, now I will give an example of West Africa, which is a French region. Here there is a place called Gunzargo. Last year there were 500 beds there. The village chief and the village imam were also part of the beds. Ultimately, their close relatives of another village in another region started opposing them. There was a social boycott against them. They stopped talking with them, stopped all form of contact or dealings with them. There was a small area in that town or village where they would say their prayers, but they placed restrictions upon the Ahmadis praying there. The opposition gradually increased. Despite this, with the grace of the Almighty Allah, now these are people living in far off places, who apparently seem to be illiterate, yet they did not care at all for any opposition, and kept their faith intact, and now Allah the Almighty has improved the circumstances. So everyone has to pass through these circumstances, as the promised Messiah alayhi salam had said. I have gave the example of the people of olden times. There are countless such examples. I have given fresh and new examples to show how Allah the Almighty rapidly through His blessings, grace and bounties increases the faith in the hearts of people and continues to do so. Thereafter, such people become ready to make every type of sacrifice. There are such type of people who live in every country, who understand the message of Ahmadiyya, the true Islam, and facilitate the spiritual life. This work is impossible to be achieved without the help of Allah. Neither can this happen merely through the effort of the chosen ones of Allah. It is only with the help of Allah when it comes to the chosen ones that this work is achieved. Neither can our missionaries or the Jamaat system achieve all this task until and unless Allah's help is with us. It is this help and succor of Allah alone which prepares people to make sacrifices and gives people steadfastness. There are many Pakistanis who accept Ahmadiyyat. I have met them in various places and in various countries. Whenever I said to them that you will have to face different circumstances and endure various hardships, you will not be able to return to Pakistan, and if you do, you will face trouble, although some do go. So they reply that we have accepted Ahmadiyyat after great thought and consideration, and inshallah we will remain steadfast. This is the way of the world, and people follow this pattern and course, that in order to obtain any objective, effort is required and sacrifices have to be made. And to achieve a grand objective, great sacrifices have to be made. So therefore, in order to obtain the perpetual spiritual life, sacrifices have to be made continuously along the way. But sometimes Allah the Almighty, to those who are ever ready to make sacrifices, are given so many bounties by Allah the Almighty, it astonishes a person. If man shows even a small measure of divine attributes according to his capacity on a human level, and displaying this, he can benefit and confer it to others, then Allah the Almighty, who gives without measure, and even rewards people merely based on their intention, there is no limit to what he confers. There is an example of human sacrifice and reward which we present in worldly terms, which many people would have heard. There was a king of Iran. He was with one of his ministers and passed by an old farmer who was planting a fruit tree. And due to his age, it was clear that the fruit of the tree would not benefit him. So the king asked him, "What benefit will this tree give you?" He replied, "We are eating the fruits of the results of those who made the sacrifices before us and planted this. What we are planting will benefit the future generations." It was a manner of the king that whenever he became happy, he would say "Zer," which meant that he was indicating and signaling to the minister that he should be given a reward. So after listening to the farmer, the king said "Zer," and the minister gave him a bag of gold coins. Taking this bag, the farmer said, "This tree is bearing fruit just while planting it." In other words, you're talking about when it will give benefit. It has given benefit now. Hearing this, the king said "Zer" again, and the minister gave him another bag of gold coins. Upon this, the farmer said, "A tree is ready to bear fruit after many years and does so once a year, but my tree has given fruit twice while still being planted." Upon this, the king said "Zer" again, and said, "Let us go now, because the farmer will otherwise loot all our coins." So this is the state of the worldly kings, where they confer rewards. There they are also worried that their coffers will empty. However, our God confers that reward which is continuous and which never ends. After conferring spiritual life, he then gives a perpetual and eternal life. And in that life in the hereafter, he continuously confers reward again. But to attain this, just like this elderly farmer was making sacrifices, we also have to make sacrifices. Such sacrifices which do not show immediate reward, but behind them are glorious benefits. The followers of the prophets gave sacrifices according to this very principle. They and their community then continuously gained success and triumph in the world. Allah the Almighty humiliates and gives failure to all else. All manners of cruelty and oppression were inflicted upon the disciples of Jesus, peace be upon him. For approximately 300 years, they had to face severe persecution, but they endured all the hardships with patience and kept on giving sacrifices, to the extent that when in the 3rd century, when the Emperor of Rome accepted Christianity, they were then granted freedom. In this period of difficulty and tribulation, they even had to hide themselves in caves. So just like the Christians hidden in the caves, kept their faith intact. And in order to save their spiritual life, they even had to hide behind stones. And they did all of this because they firmly believed that one day they would be given freedom. Similarly, today, the followers of the Messiah of Muhammad have even more belief and conviction that inshallah they will attain triumph and victory. So therefore, we also, where there are periods of trials, tribulations and difficulties, there we need to safeguard our faith. The life-giving water which was given to us to drink by the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, we need to continuously benefit from it. The Christians hid behind stones and rocks and safeguarded their faith and made sacrifices. We need to make our faith as strong as stones and rocks, and we need to prove and establish this so that those blessings and beneficence can continue forever. People of weaker faith lived before, and there are many who still have this. We need to prove and establish that the work of the Chosen One of Allah is to give new life. And it is to strengthen the faith. And inshallah, in every circumstance, we need to develop this. This can be demonstrated when we hold perfect and certain belief that inshallah, God willing, triumph and victory is destined for the Jamaat of the Promised Messiah. And as a member and an individual of the community, each and every single one should comprehend and understand this, that he also has to make a contribution towards this triumph and victory, that the salvation of the world will be attained through him, and that for this he must play his role and part. Despite all difficulties and hardships, he must believe that he will facilitate his new life, and also facilitate the new life for the rest of the world. Because apart from this, there is no other means to give life to the world. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, has mentioned his success, victory and triumph in numerous places. All people, listen, it is the prophecy of he who created the heavens and the earth. He will spread his Jamaat in all nations of the world. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, it is spreading. And through arguments and reasons, they will all gain triumph. The days are approaching, nay, they are near at hand, when only this religion shall be spoken of with honor and respect. God shall grant this religion and this movement his choicest blessings and unprecedented success, and frustrate the designs of all those who seek to destroy them. And shall perpetrate this ascendancy till the time the world comes to its end. They jeer at me now, but the jeering shall cause no harm, for there has not been a prophet who has not been jeered at. It was therefore incumbent that the promised Messiah should be jeered at, as God the Almighty said, Ya hasratan alal ibad, ma yatihim min rasulin illa kanu bihi yastahzi'un. It is therefore a sign from God, because every prophet has been mocked at. Who would laugh at a person who comes down from heaven with a host of angels, as is the conception of a non-Ahmadis, that they say about Jesus, peace be upon him, that he will descend from the heavens physically. So thus, even from this argument, one could understand that the story of Messiah coming down from the heaven is no more than a myth. Remember well that no one will descend from heaven. All our opponents who live today shall die, and none of them shall ever see Jesus, son of Mary, coming down from the heaven. Then their children that are left after them shall also die, and none of among them shall ever see Jesus, son of Mary, coming down from the heaven. And then their third generation shall also die, and they too shall not see the son of Mary coming down. Then God shall cause great consternation in their heart, yet the son of Mary has not come down. Then in dismay, the wise among them shall forsake disbelief. And 3 centuries from now shall not have passed when those who await the coming of Jesus, son of Mary, whether they be Muslims or Christians, shall relinquish altogether this conception. Then shall prevail only one religion over the whole world, and there shall be only one religious leader. I came only to sow the seed which has been planted by my hand. It shall now grow and flourish, and there is none who can hinder its growth. Inshallah, God willing. Just today, I was looking in my letters that are sent to me. In one place, some of our youth went to disseminate some of our leaflets. Perhaps this was in Germany or in some other country. It is not in my mind at this time, but it is amongst the European countries. So they were distributing leaflets in one place, which said that Jesus, peace be upon him, has come. There were 2 people sitting outside of their home at the time, who said that we were just discussing on this very topic. That if Jesus, peace be upon him, was destined to come, why has he not descended yet? And if he is due to come from somebody in the world, then who will that be? During this time, they said that you brought this leaflet, that Jesus, peace be upon him, has come, the promised Messiah has come. And you have a program and an exhibition. We have received this invitation for it, and we will most certainly come. So in this way, Allah the Almighty is opening up new avenues and is placing in people's hearts themselves to reflect upon this. May Allah the Almighty enable it to be so that we continuously be a part of this flourishing and growing tree, and may our belief remain firm in faith as strong as rocks. And may we always continue to fulfill our responsibilities.
Alhamdulillah, nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وَدُوهُ يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ